Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo.
And tonight's show is going to be a news show. We weren't able to do a lot of news last night because we had a guest. We had Larry Dorman on, if you didn't catch the show. God bless you, Leo. He's a public affairs coordinator for AFSCME Union. And he was talking about May 1st and what that means to workers all across the country and the world. So if you didn't get that show, tune in on the archives. Tonight, we're doing a news show. So, Leo?
Okay. So, the first article I've got tonight is rather staggering. I posted this up a couple days ago on my Facebook article, what I wanted to talk about, I don't know if we spoke briefly about this last night, I can't remember, but...
What was that, Leo?
This was on... Fukushima and what's happening.
Yeah, we did.
Well, I know you mentioned an article about this guy. This is another one, a little more involved, where it talks about Fukushima on steroids, what's really happening out there. And this is from
kind of scary.
Yeah, this is from the Intel Hub. It's really, really... God awful frightening what's going on. I wish everything I am reporting on were not true, or at least were less than true, it appears. It does seem that Japan is in the process of contaminating the entire Pacific Ocean via continued uncontrolled releases of radioactivity at Fukushima. After lowballing initial estimates of radiation releases, the Japanese authorities now acknowledge that substantial amounts of radioactive material leaked from the crippled Fukushima Daiichi reactors. The nuclear disaster in Japan has released radioactive isotopes that have poisoned the country's soil, food, and water.
All those people are going to die?
Oh, yeah. The fallout is being rapidly taken up by living things and passed up the food chain, with airborne radioactive isotopes reaching around the world, but especially in the northern hemisphere where most of the radioactive particles will settle. Most Americans have no idea what is happening, but within days of the accident at Fukushima, radioactive contaminants are detected at monitoring stations in the Pacific Coast states. Nearly 1% of the hot sulfur released from the plant is estimated to have traversed the Pacific to reach Southern California beaches. I don't think anyone has really ever that happy about nuclear power and nuclear weapons, but a lot of money and power were concentrated in the nuclear industry. Many of these people are riding around in limos today, very happy with their luxurious lifestyles as the planet quickly becomes more contaminated.
Private companies are abandoning ship from the nuclear industry because the nuclear news is bad no matter how you look at it. And worse, others are still headed for bad financial doom. According to a recent article in the New York Times, the operators of 20 U.S. nuclear reactors, including some with licenses that expire soon, do not have sufficient funding for prompt dismantling. If these reactors can't keep working, their owners intend to let them sit like industrial relics for 20 to 60 years or even longer, while interest accrues in the reactors' retirement accounts. Within the next 15 years, as many as 100 industry-standard 900 MW nuclear reactors concentrated in the old nuclear countries will have to be decommissioned, dismantled, and made safe, which is impossible when it comes to nuclear plants and their dirty waste products. Human stupidity and arrogance has really boomeranged on us in the arena of nuclear power. It is extremely difficult and painful to entertain the thought that the future of the Northern Hemisphere and perhaps even the habitability of the entire planet is being brought into question. I'm not a lone wolf saying this anymore, for the story has touched the edges of the mainstream. The story of nuclear waste pools was just published in the Huffington Post. I imagine many do read that publication, and when they read, and what they read there should shake people up pretty good. Pools are 100 feet above the ground and are completely open to the atmosphere because the reactor buildings were demolished by explosions. The pools could possibly topple or collapse from structural damage coupled with another powerful earthquake. That's from the Huffington Post. The urgency of the situation is underscored by the ongoing seismic activity, where 13 earthquakes of the magnitude of 4.0 to 5.7 have occurred off the northeast coast of Japan between April 14th and 17th. This has been the norm since the first quake and tsunami hit the Daiichi site on March 11th of last year. Larger quakes are expected closer to the power plant, continued the Huffington Post. If an earthquake or other event were to cause this pool to drain, this could result in a catastrophic radiological fire that could wipe out most of the northern hemisphere. Certainly, it would be a massive civilization-breaking event, some are suggesting. Amazingly, this is not the only nuclear situation going on. It is a new scare.
Two blasts at a chemical plant in western Japan killed one worker and injured at least 22 others on the 22nd of April. The explosions and fire occurred at a factory operated by a comprehensive chemical manufacturer, Mitsui Chemicals, in Yamaguchi Prefecture. And officials at Yamaguchi Prefectural Police said the complex is still on fire and supposedly 3,379 units of radioactive waste and uranium for nuclear fuel are preserved in the site. One of the two missing workers was found dead, nine workers injured, and three residents in the area were also injured. Cuts from broken glass. The prefectural government does say that the depleted uranium is stored in the complex, but there has been no release of toxic materials from the fire, according to the prefectural government.
I don't believe that.
Some, on the other hand, are saying that a cloud of depleted uranium is headed toward Hawaii and west coast of the USA. How they would know that, I do not know. Well, we have had that before, when the government used depleted uranium in its Middle Eastern wars, and no one said anything about it, so why would we expect it to be anything different now?
Biological tipping points. We are going to wait until the emergency departments are overwhelmed with patients. Are we going to wait until the emergency departments are overwhelmed with patients suffering from radiation sickness before we begin to get alarmed? In reality, we really have no idea what is actually going to happen, since such events have never happened before this, at least not like this. Every toxic exposure increases people's vulnerability to radiation. Toxic accumulation, whether from heavy metals, chemicals, pesticides, food additives, or preservatives, will each take their toll, weakening our resistance to our ability to clear radioactive particles from our bodies. The human herd has already been vastly weakened by vaccines containing nasty preservatives and other chemicals. Our dentists have clobbered us with mercury filling inches from our brain. The air is foul. The water is treated with poisons like fluoride. And many report that the air is full of chemtrails. The list is endless, but especially telling is the tonnage of mercury put in the atmosphere each and every day by the coal-fired electrical plants of the world. Britain's most senior accident and emergency doctor told the Telegraph that weeks of intense pressures had left casualty departments overwhelmed with patients. He said desperately sick people have been left for hours waiting on trolleys, with even those requiring intensive care and enduring long delays.
Dozens of National Health Services units in Britain have canceled surgery in clinics for outpatients. At least 10 major centers, including black alerts, the highest emergency warnings, meaning they are at breaking point. For a large number of reasons, it will not be long before modern medicine will be overwhelmed. Allopathic doctors will come up short for knowing what to do, since pharmaceuticals just add more toxins to the mix. At Chernobyl, no spent fuel pools were destroyed. We all are just beginning to grasp at the danger. Technically, it boils down to the fact that it is the irradiated nuclear fuel stored in spent fuel pools amid the reactor ruins that are posing the greater threat. I have people writing to me telling me that the problem is astronomically vaster than Chernobyl in both complexity and quantity of substances released, and that the total amount of radiation being reported are way too low. Here I am freaking out that we are at risk for something in the order of 85 times the radiation of Chernobyl, and I hear it could be much worse than that because of the plutonium factor. I wrote Nuclear Toxicity Syndrome in the second edition of Iodine to address the radioactive dangers we face. We have not only ignored the heavy metal and chemical situations, but also radiation exposure, all this adding up to a hugely perilous predicament. And
that's pretty scary.
Yeah, it really is.
But I don't know what an ordinary citizen can really do.
No, you got to go to intelhub.com, please, to check this article out. It's very good.
It'd be very, very scary if you lived on the West Coast or Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah. And it's getting all over the place, so it's not.
They said the Southern Hemisphere will be a lot safer.
Possibly.
No.
But, you know, with radiation, you never know. They already claim that 1 million people have died from the
effects of it.
Chernobyl.
From Chernobyl.
Okay. I wanted to. There was one more here I want to read on chemtrails. Very, very important. And
just a second. Leo has to take care of something here.
Yeah, sorry, folks.
Yeah, he'll be right with us. We're going to look up some articles. He just has a little trouble here with his computer. He has a site that rings a bell for him and tells him he has to get into it. So he just did that. So I think he's all set.
Right. So we're all set there.
And, oh, he's all set.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say that. What was I going to say?
Oh, you were looking for an article there.
Yeah, I got it. This chemtrail article that was really important that I wanted to read. Yeah, here it is. For those of you who don't believe chemtrails exist, here's the possible. Here's proof. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, this is total proof that there's an agency in charge of it, in the federal government, and it's been happening since 1990. Chemtrails. USGCRP releases 10-year global change strategic plan.
U.S. government.
Chemtrail, climate report, or something or other. It's called United States Global Change Research Program.
Okay.
The Obama administration, in conjunction with the United States Global Research Program, has just released its 10-year Global Change Strategic Plan. The very same agency responsible for spraying us, the general public, like cockroaches with aerosol sprays, otherwise known as chemtrails. The USGCRP released the following. Administration releases 10-year global plan strategic plan. Global change.
Here's the plan.
Well, anyway. The Obama administration today released a 10-year strategic plan for research related to global change, identifying priorities that will help state and local governments, businesses, and communities prepare for anticipated changes in the global environment, including climate changes in the decade ahead. The plan, released by the U.S. Global Change Research Program, which for more than 20 years has coordinated federal global change research, was developed collaboratively by more than 100 federal scientists. It reflects extensive inputs from stakeholders and the general public, as well as detailed reviews by the National Research Council chartered by Congress to provide independent expert advice to the nation. The plan will be implemented through the USGCRP and the 13 federal departments and agencies it represents.
Let's see what the plan is.
Human actions are altering the atmosphere, the land, and our oceans, placing new pressures on the Earth's ecosystems and threatening the Earth and economic welfare of our nations and the world. said Tom Armstrong, executive director. High quality and well-coordinated research is essential. This guy's so full of shit, it's unbelievable.
Here's the strategic plan.
Yeah, okay.
Let's read that.
Federal research under GS has, for two decades, focused largely on detailed documentation of specific environmental changes by satellite and other Earth-observing technologies, development of sophisticated computer models of the Earth's climate system to predict how such changes will manifest in the near term.
Let's go down to the plan. That's just
well, I think it's important.
I don't think so.
In the 10 years going forward, the emphasis will expand to incorporate the complex dynamics of ecosystem and human social economic activities and how those factors influence global change. By including these added dimensions, USGRCP-sponsored research will generate information or unprecedented practical use decision-making, and so on and so forth.
Let's go down to the plan. The strategic plan describes four key goals: advanced science, advanced scientific knowledge of the integrated natural and human components of the Earth system, drawing upon physical, chemical, biological, ecological, and behavioral sciences. Informed decisions, provide the scientific basis to perform and enable timely decisions on adaptation to and mitigation of global change. 3, conduct sustained assessments, build a sustained assessment capacity that improves the nation's ability to understand, anticipate, and respond to global changes, impacts, and vulnerabilities. Communicate and educate. Broaden public understanding of global changes and support the development of scientific workforce skilled in earth science systems. It seems to me we'd be better to control some of our scientists who screw around nuclear power than to worry about climate change.
Yeah, this goes
we're
on a little
more
bit,
of a.
Wait a minute, somewhere here that I. The press release details how essentially humans are bad and how they are destroying our planet from carbon emissions, the exhalation of a life-giving gas known as carbon dioxide. They go on to claim how the agency itself is essentially acting as God with the final decision as their scientists are bought and paid for with your hard-earned tax dollars. And as if that was not enough to cause your blood to boil, this is also the very same agency that issued a supplement to the presidential budget to geoengineer and terraform our planet.
I don't like this at all.
Yeah, I mean, these guys want to...
I wouldn't trust any one of them, even with a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
That's how much...
with a wheelbarrow. Okay. And geoengineering has now been defined as the deliberate large-scale manipulation of the planetary environment to counteract anthropogenic climate change. That was by the Royal Society in 2009.
Whatever that means.
Well, they're agreeing to chemtrail.
Yeah, they all double speak.
Recently, the question has been asked, what in the world are they spraying? The documentary that the same name answers many of those questions. The questions the world is now asking is, who in the world is spraying us? And as an introduction to this article, we will first cover information familiarized informed reader as to the core facts and information so that a more complex, complete understanding is possible.
A recent report by CBS Atlanta detailed how some local citizens are outraged that such crimes against humanity are being carried out right before our eyes in secret. In the report, Senator Johnny Isaacson was interviewed on the subject of chemtrails, saying, quote, "This is a theory that some people have, but there is no evidence this is happening. This is not happening. It looks as if members of the government, upper echelon, and even members of the Senate will go to the extreme lengths to suppress this vital information from reaching the American people. Not to mention that they signed off on the multi-billion dollar per year budget in an economic crisis with little to no transparency to the public. In regards to aerosol spraying in the Earth's atmosphere, a recent update to data assembled by the Carnicon Institute reveals that chemicals used in their respective levels of concentration. The toxic levels that are being used in these aerosols goes beyond shocking. It will appear that these levels are indeed criminal by EPA standards. A new preliminary draft report by Arizona Skywatch shows dramatic increases in heavy metals that simply do not belong in our air. Note the level of magnesium is so shockingly high that Arizona Skywatch also included additional information about it. This report will be posted online shortly.
This is only a preliminary overview of Arizona's air particulates. These figures indicate how many times they are over the allowable toxic level. Aluminum, 15.8%. Antimony, I never heard of that one. 63.
No, how many times? So 15.8
times
over the limit.
63.3 times over. Arsenic, 418 times over. Barium, 4.3 times over. Cadmium, 6.0. Chromium, 6.4. Copper, 9.0. Iron, 43.5. Lead, 15.7. And manganese, 513.8% over the legal limit. And nickel, 10.7 zinc. Additional research or videos are at CaliforniaSkywatch.com and AgriculturalDefenseCoalition.org. Interesting enough, Monsanto has just released an aluminum-resistant seed, which is genetically modified to tolerate aluminum in high levels in the store.
Soil.
So, is this a coincidence, or do they know something? Control oil, and you control nations. Control food, and you control the people.
Henry Kissinger. The common enemy of humanity, this is Henry Kissinger. The common enemy of humanity is man. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it's only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. Richard Haass, Club of Rome.
Richard Haass is also the president of CFR, the Council of Foreign Relations, and he's on Morning Joke every other day. Okay, so, I mean, who's pushing what?
Another famous quote. When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Whenever the people are well informed, they can be trusted with their own government. Thomas Jefferson.
Purpose. The Fund of Innovative Climate and Energy Resources exists to accelerate the innovative development and evaluation of science, technology, carbon dioxide, greenhouse emissions, environmental consequences. The non-profit research fund focused on early stage innovative research where relatively small and timely grants can significantly advance understanding. Anyway, this goes on. It's
quite
very
long
article, but I'm gonna ask people to refer to it because
they can go and read it themselves.
Yeah, it's truly a long and involved
long one.
Pretty long. I'll end with this. Today, Americans would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is essentially true if they were told there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all people of the world will pledge with world leaders.
Presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. Henry Kissinger, in an address to the Bilderbergers at Avion France, May 21st, 1992. He was a vile man.
Isn't he sick? I mean, this is
evil, evil, vile man.
This is the stuff that's been happening, folks, and right before your eyes. We've been trying so hard to tell you, you know, over the years, but there's another one, the big die-off. International scientific order needed to facilitate the big die-off. Top UN advisors say this is about population reduction of hope.
Oh, lovely.
Pretty scary.
These are scary things for people. This is from InfoWars.
Yeah. In 2004, Emeritus Professor of Physics at California University, American representative to the UN, Roger Dittman, stated that all policies related to Agenda 21 should be pursued with the aim of worldwide population reduction and population control.
Oh, how kind of him.
The big die-off, the professor eagerly added, has already begun. In his presentation, Sustainable Development, the New International Scientific Order, and UN Reform, he gives his own definition of the term sustainable development.
Economic development that leads to reduction in population toward an optimum level for the maximization of quality of life, that is, environmentally benign development that reduces the birth rate. Dittmann explains on page 14 of his lecture notes. Furthermore, the emeritus professor writes bluntly that the big die-off has already begun. In order to facilitate such a massive die-off, the professor proposes global governance to make sure the directives will be universally applied. Since this is a global effort, it requires global organization, both governmental and popular, he writes. Dittmann's specific remark concerning the big die-off echoes Paul Ehrlichman's remark just a few days ago in response to the elitist UK-based Royal Society report, People and the Planet. After the Royal Society report was published, listing among its key recommendations several measures to drastically reduce population, Ehrlich said, the question is, can you go over the top without a disaster, like a worldwide plague or a nuclear war between India and Pakistan? If we go on at the pace we're going, that's going to be various forms of disaster. Some may be slow-motion disasters, like people getting more and more hungry, or catastrophic disasters, because the more people you have, the greater the chance of some weird virus transferring from animal to human populations. They could be a vast die-off. Veiled threats, and that was by Ehrlich, veiled threats from the most vicious of eugenicists the world has ever known. I don't have to remind readers that all this talk of death and mass death is becoming more common every day. Only recently I highlighted the case of University College Emeritus Professor John Gillibaum, patron of the UK-based Population Matters, who depicted, among other things, a machine gun, a hospital bed, and a knife dripping with blood as an example of natural population control, as opposed to artificial methods such as contraception and family planning. Lovely people.
Oh, isn't this great?
Oh, here, we could play this.
We might as well, because this is really important. This is that Gilbaugh. Promotes depopulation at Cambridge.
Unfortunately, as the time presents, number one may no longer be true, because we probably have now had too many everyone's in the world. So, everyone here, I hope, lives a modest British lifestyle. How many of you have got a big gas guzzle? How many of you have a patio heater that heats up temperature? Not many. We live modestly. But unfortunately, our world, which is three-quarters full of water, and half the rest of it, mountains and deserts, is looking like not big enough now. Humans already utilize about 30% more of the cropland, the fisheries, and the forestry than there is. We don't allow it to regenerate. We are overutilizing. And by 2050, we will need 200% of it. And if we were to deal with poverty, as I hope we all want to, we will need 400%. 400%, that's four worlds. Are we going to find at least one other planet? Or is it going to be as an exercise?
No, it's so
I can't understand a word he's saying.
These assholes, unfortunately, these British clowns, they can't speak English. And, you got to deal with this crap. Let's go back.
He wasn't very clear in his talk.
Back to Dittmann, 2004 presentation. In his notes, he also calls for a new international scientific order to make sure the entire scientific community is armed and ready to implement worldwide population reduction. Not only do people require organization about their multiple identities, including professional, scholarly, and scientific, they need an international, even supernatural, affiliation facing a common adversary. This common adversary, remarks, is completely in the spirit of the Club of Rome 1993, the first global revolution, in which the authors state, in search for a new enemy to unite, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. And these dangers are caused by human intervention. And it is only through challenge
change.
To change attitude and behavior, that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. To illustrate that, in the case of Professor Roger Dittman, we are not dealing with some isolated mad scientist in a cellular lab, will suffice.
No, his own resume will suffice.
Right.
He served on the executive board of the World Federation of Scientific Workers, in which he has been active since 1967, and represented the WFSW, that's the World Federation of Scientific Workers, at the United Nations. He presides over the U.S. affiliate of the World Federation of Scientific Workers, the U.S. Federation of Scholars and Scientists, founded in 1937, as the American Association of Scientific Workers, which is also affiliated with the American Association for the Advancement of Science. He has also served as chair of the Southern California Federation of Scientists on the National Council of the Federation of American Scientists, as well as the executive board of the Pacific Division of the AAAS. He has extensive international contacts and experience, including working with UNESCO. Ah, UNESCO, always UNESCO. For those who think that the entire population reduction mantra is somehow the end result of rigorous scientific thinking, the calculated, incremental, and synchronized move toward a brave new world should inform them about its true origins. It's not a bottom-up thing, somehow evolving naturally from the grassroots. It's a top-down scientific dictatorship, rather, posing as grassroots, but carefully crafted to brainwash as large an audience as it can through the use of mass media, schooling systems, and other available instruments of propaganda. In 1974, the general director of UNESCO, René Mayhew, stressed the importance of gathering all media, irrespective of its medium, under the great wing of UNESCO and the globalists. At a banquet of the International Coordinating Council of the Man and the Biosphere Program in Williamsburg, USA, Mayhew starts out by giving some insight in UNESCO's long-term vision for mankind. The rationale behind the MAB, Man and the Biosphere Program, is to ensure that the physical, biological, and environmental requirements of man are placed in the hands of each of us and remain under our overall control. Expanding to his listening audience that the Earth will disintegrate if not for a collective effort planned, organized, and executed by the international community acting in concert, the Director General goes on to state, "I believe that we have now reached the point in world affairs where we must have a systematic reorganization of international relations on all levels." He, of course, favors the UN as the proper body to do the reorganizing and gives it its proper name. "I wish to reiterate my firm conviction, together with my hope, that the new world order, political, monetary, economic, and social, should now be established. UNESCO's founder, vice president of the Eugenics Society, and foremost transhumanist Julian Huxley explained why global government is crucial in his UNESCO, its purpose, and its philosophy. Even though it's quite true that any radical eugenic policy will be for many years politically and psychologically impossible, it would be important for UNESCO to see that the eugenic problem examined with greater care and that the public mind is informed of the issues at stake so that much that now is unthinkable may at least become thinkable." That's that gradual process
now,
that they talk
didn't
about.
Didn't kids go around?
I did.
You did.
Collecting money.
For UNESCO.
Yes.
Yeah. And UNESCO, its purpose and philosophy.
And that was instead of getting trick-or-treat on Halloween?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we did.
Yeah, I remember.
And we thought it was a good thing.
Yeah. That's sick. I want to see if I can get to that. For some reason, it bumped out.
Won't come up, huh?
Bumped out, but... UNESCO, its purpose and philosophy.
No.
Nope. No. It happened.
Taken off, probably.
I'm curious, though. Quite frankly, I'm quite curious.
Well, you'll have to look it up another time. Let's go back to this, Leo. And there's other articles that are important.
Okay. I wanted to check that on out, but please go to check out UNESCO. Google up UNESCO and find out what it's all about.
Henry Macko.
I feel like doing that right this minute.
I just don't think it would be very interesting. It'll be long and boring, and people can read that at home if they want.
Unnecessarily.
Yeah,
I mean, people, you know it is?
Well, it's one of those documents.
How do you know?
Because it's a document.
Because how do you know, though? I mean, you know, you went out and collected for those clowns, you know?
I was also, like, 9 years old. So I didn't know any better.
I know, but that's what they do. You know, and so that's how they get you, you know. I just want to check this out. UNESCO. UNESCO? UNESCO, yeah.
Go ahead.
Scientific and cultural, UNESCO, its purpose and its philosophy. Let's go to that right now.
Julian Huxley is the author.
Aldous Huxley's brother.
Yeah, was the author.
Yeah, UNESCO. A united educational, social, and scientific organization also can and should promote the growth of international contracts, international organizations, actual international achievements, and will offer increasing resistance to the forces making for division and conflict. In particular, it can both on its own and its close relation with other UN agencies, such as Food and Agriculture Organization and World Health Organization, promote the international application of science to human welfare. As the benefits of such world-scale programs become plain, we will be speedily be the case in relation to food and health of mankind. It will become increasingly more difficult for any nation to destroy them by resorting to isolation to war. The fact has also been emphasized that the development of intelligence testing, this thing goes on, man.
I told you.
Yeah, it kind of goes on.
And it's written in a way so that you're not going to really understand it.
It's a crock of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a eugenics. Huxley was a eugenics.
Eugenics.
Genesis.
Which
that
means that they want to control the human population. Of course, that means getting rid of you, not them.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they
them.
Mean by controlling
the
population.
Not them. Absolutely, no. No, they're the guys that designed it. They're not going to die.
That's for all the rest of us.
Freaking idiots. They think
that's for the 99%. Remember, they're the 1%.
But it's totally ridiculous to think that they could possibly, you know, escape this, you know. The only guy who thought about any reason why they would do that is if, like David Icke said, there could be a totally reptilian
another
group,
race.
A race of people that aren't affected by radiation. But this is another thing that's really a bitch, because what's happening now is that,
Marshall Red Zone in America?
Yeah, in Chicago and other areas. If transportation pats down a public venue at public venues, thousands of drones over the skies of America, and the National Security Agency's new echelon, like Listening Center in Utah, weren't enough to convince you that we're living in a police state, and perhaps the latest news out of Chicago will change your mind. As world leaders prepare to meet in the Windy City for their annual NATO summit, U.S. federal officials are working feverishly implement a security net so broad that it encompasses the entirety of Cook County, Illinois. Mm-hmm. While international summits are traditionally met with a larger police presence and preparations for possibility of protesting or riots, what's taking place in American soil is anticipation of May 20th meeting in downtown Chicago can be interpreted in only one way, the implementation of regionalized martial law. Last week, Red Cross officials reported that the City of Chicago, Department of Homeland Security, and the Secret Service had instructed them to prepare for a mass evacuation of the city in the event of an emergency during the NATO summit. The Red Cross was to prepare for a shelter and feed residents in the event of such an evacuation. On the heels of that announcement, more details have emerged, and they suggest the federal security apparatus has completely lost its marbles. And there's a short video here that explains some of this.
Well, let's listen to this. And while you're putting...
Tonight, CBS2 has learned there may be a secret plan to evacuate Chicago in case of big trouble at the NATO summit next month. The Red Cross in Milwaukee is apparently reaching out to volunteers to help prepare shelters for any Chicagoans who were suddenly relocated. CBS2's Mike Parker uncovered the story.
CBS 2 News has obtained a copy of Milwaukee Area Red Cross emails sent out to volunteers. The message suggests a possible plan to evacuate residents of the city of Chicago during the NATO summit. The conference, the email says, may create unrest or another national security incident. The American Red Cross in southeastern Wisconsin has been asked to place a number of shelters on standby in the event of evacuation from Chicago. That surprise disclosure has some folks who live downtown on edge. A little unnerving?
Very unnerving. I feel a little bit unsafe, just a little, maybe a little bit more than a little bit. Doesn't make me feel like I want to be in the city during the NATO conference.
I'm lost for words because I absolutely have no idea what that entails.
According to a Wisconsin Red Cross spokesperson, the evacuation plan is not theirs alone. She told us, "Our direction has come from the city of Chicago and the Secret Service." However, officials at the Office of Emergency Management and Communication told us tonight the directive did not come from them. The Secret Service did not return our phone calls. The Chicago Red Cross office said only, "We are supporting the city in their NATO planning." A union executive who's been training his members in preparation for the summit believes such a plan might be over the top.
This could be a lot like Y2K. You know, a lot of hype and a lot of buildup. People will say that was it, you know, not a big deal.
The idea of having to evacuate Chicago residents is, number one, a scary prospect, which could account for the reluctance to talk about it. Secondly, it's probably also highly unlikely. This seems to be a case of officials wanting every possible contingency plan on the table, just in case, Robin Case.
Still has to make people a little uneasy, nevertheless, though, Mike.
You don't want to hear about possible evacuations, but they're planning ahead. They don't want to be...
The Illinois Department of Transportation is testing an emergency plan to shut off access into and out of downtown Chicago. The plan uses a network of highway security gates that are designed to shut down all traffic coming in and out of Chicago.
Huh.
Yeah. The Illinois DOT is warning truckers that it is best to avoid the city during the NATO summit, May 20 to 21st. There will be number of driving restrictions and rolling street closures, and the Illinois DOT is testing highway barricades that will block access to all major highways in and out of Chicago. These barricades, which started being installed on Chicago highways back in 2005,
are designed to restrict or cut off access to roads during an emergency,
bioterrorism. Illinois DOT testing of these highway entrance ramps has been as many worried about the chaos NATO may cause to downtown Chicago. There is already talk about widespread citywide evacuations, rioting, attacks, and even large-scale detention centers and arrests. Detention centers. It has been reported by the local media that Cook County Sheriff Tom Gard is devising a strategy to deal with the large-scale mass arrests during the NATO summit meeting. In fact, the Chicago Sun-Times is reporting that the once-abandoned Juliet State Prison may be reopened as a mass detention center for NATO.
Jeez.
Juliet Prison is about 40 miles from Chicago and can hold about 1,300 prisoners. The sheriff is also reportedly looking at building tents in the yard at Cook County Jail. Militarized Red Zone. Starting May 1st, a full week, 3 weeks before NATO summit, the federal government will be setting up a militarized red zone in the streets of downtown Chicago. Jesus.
Well, I'm glad I don't live there.
Yeah, and the head of Chicago's NATO host committee said Thursday she was blindsided by the federal government's decision to create a militarized red zone in the loop of protecting federal buildings in the run-up to the May 2021 summit at McCormick Place. The news of federal agents on the streets of Chicago isn't sitting well with many. From last month's urban warfare drills to recent residents being warned of possible citywide evacuations, the city of Chicago is starting to look like a city that may already be under martial law. I mean, I'll tell you something. If that doesn't kick that son of a bitch Emmanuel out of office, I don't know what the hell will.
They ought to get rid of him.
City planning officials with the Chicago NATO host committee have been reportedly kept in the dark about federal security plans. Federal agencies like the aptly named Secret Service refuse to release any details. The article is quite lengthy and it goes on, but it kind of details everything that's out there and that's happening there. And I suggest you go to Infowars.com and check out Marshall Red Zone in America. It's really quite frightening.
It's sort of like what they're doing in Britain for the Olympics.
Yeah. I mean, it's a major global crackdown, it
yeah.
seems like, you know. Like
using
like,
a couple events as an
yeah.
excuse.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And, you know, I don't know. So, anyway, what we're going to do, I've got a couple more things I want to read tonight. Yeah, we got about 15 more minutes.
I thought you had something you were going to play.
I was. This clown, Czar Cass Sustine.
Who is he?
He's the asshole that's in charge of the science czar, I believe, or the information czar. Sorry.
An unelected person.
Yeah. By Obama, okay. A rare public appearance. The Obama administration information czar, Cass Sustine, of course Jewish, gives a lecture at the NYU Law School in New York yesterday, where Luke Radkowski of We Are Change confronted Sustine multiple times on an academic paper he co-authored in 2008 entitled Conspiracy Theories, in which he called for infiltration of conspiracy groups by the government.
Oh, let's play that. All
so,
right.
I mean, I don't think the guy says anything, really, but...
My name is Bill DeBerg from Brooklyn College, and I know you wrote many articles, but I think the most telling one about you is the 2008 one called Conspiracy Theories, where you openly advocated government agents infiltrate activist groups of non-love truth and also stifle dissent online. I was wondering, why do you think it's the government's job, or why do you think the government should go after family members who have questions about 9/11, responders who were lied to about the air, survivors whose testimonies missed, and also government whistleblowers that were gagged because they released information that contradicts the official story? Why do you think the government should do that?
I think, as Ricky said, I've written hundreds of articles, and I remember some and not others. That one I always remember very well. I hope I didn't say that. But whatever was said in that article, my role in government is to oversee federal rulemaking in a way that is wholly disconnected from the vast majority of my academic writing, including that. So
I know that I was just asking because you may be the next Supreme Court Justice, and you did write those things, and that's why I'm referring them up to you.
And all I can say is that there are a lot of things that I've written, I guess. There are even more things I've said to him. And I may agree with some of the things I've written, but I'm not exactly sure what my boss wants me to do.
Believe that?
Do
you still believe that? You did, and it's written. Do you retract them?
I hope I didn't say either of those things.
You did, and it's written. Do you retract them?
I'm focused on my job.
So you're not retracting that. Do you still believe that?
Do you still believe that?
People should have freedom of speech.
I'm happy to talk about
so,
this.
So
I can go on the record.
He's the man who wrote about it. So Cass, do you still believe in the Joseph Goebbels approach?
Please don't.
I'm asking a question.
I know, but you're asking a question.
That's the job of a journalist to ask questions.
I'm trying to give a book
turn. Okay, go get your book turn.
Which is more.
I'm sorry, I got to ask him again. I have to. I kind of have to.
We're not.
Yeah. Question.
I mean, we're talking about undermining freedom of speech and critical thinking, about questioning the government. We just want to know your opinion, and you don't seem like you want to retract those statements, but they're very serious. They're very similar to Joseph Goebbels. That's what people compared you to, sir. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
This is one of Obama's boys, okay?
I give a lot of credit to We Are Change. Good.
I do too. You know,
good confrontation without anger, but really insistent, and you can see that this guy just wouldn't retract what he had to say, tried to make a joke of it so that other people wouldn't confront him. But that's his belief, obviously.
Obviously. He wants to destroy freedom of speech and anything that's against the government.
And infiltrate any kind of organization that, in his view, is against the government, because he's only interested in government.
Yeah.
He's not interested in democracy or the Constitution.
No. And here's an article that confirms what I'm saying, what we've said. You know, if anything makes you sick, this will probably do it. So CIA plane crashes, lands with 4 tons of cocaine.
Oh, nice.
Well, I guess you know about America's top drug dealers, our CIA, the Criminal Intelligence Agency.
Cocaine import agency, CIA.
We've all heard the rumors that CIA are the reason that the United States and Canada is awash with cocaine. It is time to connect the dots now that one of their planes has crash-landed with 4 tons of cocaine. So the Arnpire OPP posted a blurb on the guide stating, report drug dealers. Well, shouldn't we be seeking our kingpins in government, namely the CIA, the most famous example of government involvement in drugs? British was the Opium War in China in the 1800s. So on the heels of that, here's an extreme example of government gone awry. I don't know if I should play that right now, but 17 months after
the American registered DC-9 airliner
was busted
with 5.5 tons of cocaine, a major international scandal is brewing over a second drug trafficking incident in the Mexico's Yucatan involving an American registered jet owned by a dummy front company of the kind usually associated with the CIA. A weekend visit to Donna Blue Aircraft Incorporated of Coconut Beach, Florida, the company which FAA records show owned the Gulfstream II business jet, which crash-landed with 3.7 tons of cocaine aboard in Mexico's Yucatan 2 weeks ago, has revealed that the company's listed address is an empty office suite with a blank sign out front. There was no sign of Donna Blue Aircraft Incorporated at the address listed at the Florida Department of Corporations. However, there were oddly enough, a half a dozen unmarked police cars parked directly in front of the empty suite. It seems that one of the planes logged on the list of the CIA prison planes has been in a little accident. It crash-landed in Mexico after running out of jet fuel en route to the U.S. The authorities were more than a little surprised when they found 4 tons, yes, you heard me right, 4 tons of cocaine on board. The men flying the plane have disappeared, including one woman. The CIA refuses to comment, and the Main Street press don't want to touch the story. The CIA used to run smack out of the Iron Triangle at the height of the Vietnam War. They owned a company called Air America at the time. I saw a video. I saw a video clip on the U.S. Marine of a U.S. Marine talking in Afghanistan with a poppy field behind him and saying they are there to help the locals grow the poppies because it's part of their heritage. Funny how the poppy yields opium, which turned into heroin, and it seems funny how since the invasion of Afghanistan, the production and export of heroin has risen tenfold. I know that if there was a drug dealer outside of every house in my street, and the street was folded with police, the problem would be eradicated. Fishy business going on. It's a shame many people can't see this. That's in Spanish.
Jesus.
Same article.
Okay. So, anyway, they did find this, and...
if the CIA torture jet crashes with 4 tons.
Gulfstream jet that crash-landed in Mexico in late September bearing a load of nearly 4 tons of cocaine was used by the CIA for trips between the U.S. and Guantanamo Bay. But that's just the tip of the iceberg.
I speak as a retired international covert operative for the Drug Enforcement Administration. What we're uncovering here through the hard and courageous work of journalist Bill Conroy is something nobody... Central Intelligence, FBI, they don't want this out there. They don't want anybody peeking under the rugs that Mark is talking about this plane crash carrying 4 tons of cocaine. Any kind of corruption you could imagine occurs. And when you talk about 4 tons of cocaine coming into the United States with the involvement of a man who worked as a pilot for CIA, DEA, and FBI, who is obviously somebody who is a shaker and a mover, his jet crashed in late September of this year in the Yucatan. It had about 4 tons of coke on it, and it flew out of Fort Lauderdale to Mexico, and from Mexico to Colombia, Rio Negro, Colombia, is where it took off from, which is just outside of Medellin. And, you know, it obviously picked up the coke in Colombia and was headed back toward our neck of the woods.
Yeah,
and that's right. And it was gonna land at an airport, again in the Yucatan, probably from what I've been able to gather, loaded down with that much cocaine and had to refuel.
Yeah.
Exactly. As they said, someone didn't grease the deal right. In the airport they were going to land at, there was a ship change, and they wouldn't let them land. So they went to another airport, tried to land. They wouldn't land there, and they basically got stranded in the air, ran out of fuel, and had to ditch it. And that's how they got caught. So it was a deal that went bad, apparently. What's come out on it so far is the jet that they were flying, we got the FAA records on it, and... the Europeans have been looking into the rendition flights that the CIA, the agency, was running for, Guantanamo. And these tail numbers on this jet that crashed show up in some of their research as being used, this jet being used for at least 3 flights to Guantanamo between 03 and 05.
There's one more here. It's about a minute and a half, which is about the time we've got. Dr. Alfred McCoy on CIA and drugs. YouTube video.
Question one. Did the agency ever ally with drug traffickers? Yes, beyond any doubt. Once controversial, not even the CIA any longer bothers to deny that it is often allied with major and minor drug dealers. Question two. Did the CIA protect these allies from prosecution? Yes, there is a recurring pattern of protection. During a major CIA operation, the operational zone becomes a special de facto protected area where everything is subordinated to the prosecution of this covert operation. To protect the integrity of the operation, the CIA blocks all investigation by the DEA, Customs, Congress, and local police.
By the way, head of the DEA, his name is Rob Bonners, friend of mine throughout the first George Bush administration, documented that, yes, the CIA was involved with the importation of a fair amount of cocaine, but it just has to happen because of the money.
Do you understand what you're saying? A ton of cocaine was smuggled into the United States of America.
Well,
in cooperation with the CIA?
That's exactly what appears to have happened.
In 1971, President Richard Nixon declares an all-out war on drugs. Huh. 35 years later, over 1 million nonviolent drug offenders live behind bars.
Ridiculous.
1986, Reagan's Anti-Drug Abuse Act.
Well, it's all to protect the CIA and take the focus off them.
Oh, absolutely.
And here we are right to the end of the show, 9 o'clock,
yeah.
And we want to thank you for listening.
Yeah, it was great having you. And please join me tomorrow night when we enter the fourth dimension. We'll be doing an article on an essay by Emerson on transcendentalism.
Ooh, all right.
So we're going to get. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining me, and we will see you tomorrow night.
Good night, folks.